This is the Gary Cantrell Podcast.
This is the great thing about live radio, because I just got a DM here. I've got to go live to the phone right now. So stand by. Bert.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Ladies and gentlemen, live on the shoot hotline right now, we have Bert Kreischer on the phone. Bert, it's great to talk to you, man.
It's good talking to you. It's the power of the internet. You send me a tweet and you're like, hey, I'd love to have you on the show. I'm like, I'm in.
I know. Bert, I was just talking about this because, you know, you are a well-known person on the television. You're a well-known comedian. You're on Travel Channel. I was just almost going on a rant because, you know, one of the things that we talk about sometimes on the show is wrestling and how difficult it is to bring wrestlers on the air. But, you know, somebody like you, you're a real nice guy. I send you a tweet and you're on. You're on the show with us right now. Boom. It's easy.
What's wrong with wrestlers?
Wrestlers, they guess, you know, that their shit doesn't stink and that, you know, it's really tough to bring them on the air. You know, the internet, you do a podcast, Bert, you do the Bert Cast. For some reason, internet radio and podcasting in some people's light is a dirty word. I don't understand it. What is your view of the internet radio, the podcasting world as you know it, because now that you're into it?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because we in LA have a complete and total opposite view. I mean, you know, it's redefined kind of our business as a whole. I'm talking like, this is how crazy it is. I say LA, but it's probably LA and New York. I say in the entertainment business more. I go to sell a book. I write a book treatment a while ago. This is, you know, pre me meeting Joe Rogan. I write a book treatment to try to sell a book. I go into publishers. They read it. Everyone likes it. I get pitches. And literally two or three of the publishers that I met, their first question is, do you think you could start a podcast before the book comes out? And I'm like, excuse me? And they're like, Adam Carolla has a podcast and he sold a lot of books. So if you have a podcast, you'll sell a lot of books. I'm like, first of all, that's not how it works. Adam Carolla sold a lot of books because he's Adam Carolla. And I go, but it's so funny now because, and it's, you can get anyone. I mean, you get big names on your podcast these days. Like, it's so funny. All you have to do is like, hey, you want to do my podcast? And they get excited. Like they're the first one gold panning out in San Francisco in the 49s. So like, I think it's changed everything. You know, nowadays, I speak mostly of Rogan because he's kind of one of the icons in the format.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't even do radio when he goes into a town.
Yeah. He just does his own thing.
He doesn't do press. He just does his podcast, and you get the most fast. I mean, I tried explaining it to, like, I was in Tampa doing the Tampa Improv.
Right.
I was like, friends I've known my whole life. I'm like, so what's this podcast that you have? And I'm like, I go, it's just me talking and with friends. I go, it's usually just me and friends hanging out, drinking beers in my man cave. And they're like, yeah, I don't get the whole podcasting thing. And you're like, no, you would. Let me explain it to you. And I explained to my friend, what are you into? She goes, I'm into child rearing and spirituality. I was like, home run. That they got people that spend 2 hours a day talking about child rearing. So I show it to her. She downloaded it. And all of a sudden she's like, I'm obsessed. What other podcast can I get into? But it's interesting, too, that you say wrestlers are hard to deal with on radio because notoriously, like, MMA fighters are super interesting and kind of generous.
Oh yeah, they are. Bert, let me tell you, man, when we did the show, just to give you just a quick background, because we did the show for 3 years from 07 to 2010, took a break. Now we're back. When I was doing the show then, MMA fighters, I could get them all day. You know, Uriah Faber, Rampage Jackson, Matt Hughes, the best of the best of the best. But wrestlers, unless, you know, when they're signed to these big companies, the TNA, the WWE, they don't want to talk. You know, the MMA fighters, they'll come on. They're super nice. It's so easy to get them on. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I could imagine, you know, you do a podcast, Rogan does a podcast. You guys are bigger names. You guys probably have no trouble, you know, talking to some big names and getting them on. But, you know, for a guy like me, I'm just starting back up. I mean, I'm having to build from the bottom again. And
frustrating. That's frustrating because especially you were part of the genre before it was as popular as it is now.
Yeah, I'm getting right back in.
There's a lot of people I know that have been doing this for a long time, and then all of a sudden it gets popular, and I will use myself as an example. I mean, the concept of the podcast was so foreign to me. I was like, how do you get it into the computer? Like, I couldn't understand any of it, and I wanted to do it, but I had like tons of friends that were doing it, and I just go hop on their podcast, and I was like, this is so much fun.
Yeah,
like, no one's hearing this. This is great. And now, like, you look at like a guy like Jimmy Pardo, who still has a very popular podcast, but he's been at it since like 2006.
Right.
And then you watch me roll in with, I think I have 11 episodes, and all of a sudden it's like I don't even know what I'm doing. You know,
just kind of going with the mood. Going with the mood. You know, whatever you feel.
Yeah, you know, I wish there was more to, like, not crapping on my own podcast, but I wish there was more to mine. But I feel like, you know, in all honesty, it's the same reason I don't have sponsors. Cause I feel like the second it feels like it's a job, I'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it should just be like a time to get to hang out with friends that I don't get to see. Cause I got two kids. I'm on the road doing the Travel Channel show. I'm doing doing stand up. And so like when I'm home, I get to schedule out time where people come over to my house and we can drink beer in the back. My wife understands that it's work, and it's like, you know, it's like a hall pass.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. I mean, that's why I did it. I mean, you know, look, a lot of people don't realize I have a day job as well. You know, I work in the world of marketing, and it's a lot of fun, and I love what I do. And you know, that was one of my hesitations to even coming back was, you know, how do you find time to do it? First of all, you know, what's the right day? Cause I, you know, at times I'm working up to 60 hours a week and, you know, I love what I do, but you know, I wouldn't bring this back if there wasn't a time to do it. And I said, you know what? The weekends are perfect. And you know, we'll do the live radio. I mean, this is live right now. We're talking live. And then the podcast is kind of secondary. And one other thing I wanted to ask you about with the podcasting, cause we had, Tom Likas on the show last week. He's done monster numbers in the live internet realm, and he does a podcast secondary. That's, you know, that's kind of his premium site. And he seemed to be a little more down on quote comedians doing podcasts because he's like, you know, they only come on once a week and they're just doing it to plug their shows. But I mean, I think that's kind of the whole point, right? You know, you can use it not only just to have fun, but as a way to promote yourself.
Well, I mean, I met Tom Likas once.
Right.
He was on a TV show I did. Uh-huh. And he, you know, like, you know, he's an interesting guy because of course he's getting upset the comedians are doing it. Cause it's like Adam Carolla, who's, you know, naturally trained in radio, is also kind of a comedian. He does this every week, but like Rogan and Marin and Kevin Pereira, all these guys are doing it once a week and they're getting major numbers and they're getting major advertising dollars.
Right.
And, you know, here's a guy who's trained formally in the format of exactly what he's doing. And he's watching guys come that have no interest in being a radio jock. They just want to promote their shows and they're making tons of money and they're taken away from a market that, you know, that quite honestly, you know, there's not a ton of bread at this table, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so I can understand why he's doing that, you know. And you know, I don't know. I used to like listening to Likas. I kind of got a kick out of him, but I can understand where he's coming from. It's like, look at me. I don't, like, if people have like 10 downloads and they decide to make mine one of their downloads, or Ari Shaffir's or Tom Segura's or Jay Moore's or Joe Rogan's or Adam Carolla's or Mark Maron's, and these are all big names. Right. If they decide to put us in that list, then that's like one more hour that we're stealing that Likas, who's amazing at this format, that Likas isn't getting. And so I'm sure that's frustrating. Let me tell you something. It's frustrating to me. And I say this candidly, and I hope I don't sound like bitchy, but it's frustrating to me when Steve-O, who I don't know, and I know he's a nice guy, he's a really nice guy, but what's frustrating when Steve-O goes in and sells out a comedy club and he's only been doing comedy for, you know, 2 months.
Right.
Because I've been doing it for 14 years, and I'm like struggling to sell tickets. And then when you watch someone come in and just destroy your format, and just like, not destroy it in a bad way, but like literally kill it. Like just have a great career, just explode. You get frustrated.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and he's,
the key is to not let that get personal. Like, I don't have anything. I literally, Steve-O's one of the sweetest dudes in the world. Everyone says that.
Right.
And he's apparently, you know, it's like, well, am I going to begrudge him or Joel McHale the fact that they can make some money? Like, you know, no, they didn't start as stand-ups, and that's what like his, you know, frustration is. It's the same that you could have for like Joel McHale or Tom Green or even a Steve-O, but those are good guys and they put on a good show. And so what if they're selling out? It's not, to get caught up in the concept that they're taking money out of my pocket is crazy. It's crazy for me to think that, but don't get me wrong. I've definitely been drunk before by myself in my room thinking that.
Like, right.
Like, hey, I'm not Jesus Christ over here. I definitely thought that.
Well, it's like, here's the guy, here's Steve-O, the guy that, you know, made a name for himself, stapling his nutsack to his leg. And, you know, he's selling out these huge rooms. And, you know, you've been around for a while now. I mean, you've been around the block a few times and, you know, for this guy to come in and that's how they make their name. I mean, it's incredible.
It's like, look, Steve-O's not doing anything to anyone. He's not trying to hurt anyone. And he's a really good guy. Let him do that. Like,
sure.
There are comics that get frustrated by that. And Tom Likas should realize that no one's going to outdo Likas. I can get as misogynistic as I want on my podcast. I'm not going to beat Tom Likas at his game. And I'm not going to put on a better podcast than Tom Likas or a better radio show. You know, but I'm sure it does get frustrating when you see people eating out of off the same breakfast table where your food comes from, and you're like, this guy didn't even know what he's doing. Like, if you listen, if you're Tom Likas and you listen to my podcast, you will put a gun in your mouth and be like, how in the hell is this guy getting 500,000 downloads? Like, this guy is just literally drinking beer, laughing. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure. I'm sure people listening to this show and me rambling on and on. You know, you listen to that for an hour or two, they're going to want to put a gun right in their mouth and just be done with it.
But it's like look, if there's music. Like I don't get drum and bass. I don't get like a lot of the techno crap.
Right.
Am I going to be angry that some dude's selling out Ibiza? That Diplo has the most insane life in the world. Trust me, I get jealous when I look at Diplo's life and I go, I want to be rocking in Jamaica with a bunch of hot black chicks, smoking ganja and making beats in the studio with freaking Paul Wall, but I'm not.
Right.
So
why not? Yeah.
Well, God, Diplo's really does have a great life.
I've not heard his stuff. I'll have to at least check it out.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
I have?
Yes, you have.
Give me an example right now. You're on the spot. Give me an example.
I get high like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me in the bed, I go ballin' in a day. Then I bun it on bed, bun it on bed. I got bun down on a dipper, dipper way. I'll fly like that song, Diplo's.
That sounds okay. All right, you might got me there. I think that sounds pretty familiar there.
You know that song, but it was in Pineapple Express.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen that movie in a while, but
Diplo created that beat, and Diplo's doing Snoop Dogg's new album.
Oh wow,
Snoop Lion.
Snoop Lion. What is that?
Yeah.
Snoop Lion.
Snoop, he changed. Snoop.
I remember being in the sixth grade. Having to smuggling that doggy style CD into my house. And I remember that I had this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles puzzle set that I would put the CD, I'd hide it under the puzzle pieces so my mother wouldn't find it. And I remember listening to it with the headphones on, just, you know, like crouched up, you know, underneath the bed, trying to listen to what Snoop Dogg was putting down. And it was crazy.
I remember my buddy Obi, he was in the redneck fraternity,
right?
You know, there's like one called KA, which is like very the Southern old boy, the Southern gentleman one. And he was like a country music dude. And we lived together. I've been known him my whole life. And he definitely was never into rap. And one day we're driving back from playing frisbee golf. And he's like, have you heard Snoop Dogg's new album? I thought he was joking. And I was like, no. And he's like, apparently it's really good.
Oh, wow.
<college. laughs> I bought it. And I was like, shut up. Obi introduced me to that?
I'm going to have to check that. Yeah. Have to check that. Check out.
Obi
see what Snoop's doing.
Was a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, he. Can we curse?
Yeah, of course. It's internet. Go okay. for it.
he fucked some chick in the ass, and then she got engaged to one of our friends. And anytime that he was around him, he would always go, "What's it like knowing that I fucked your fiance in the ass?" That was like,
that was Obi. It's a hell of a question to ask. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Obi, let it go.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's been a while. Yeah. Just let it go.
It's been a while. Yeah.
So. Let's talk about what you've been up to lately, because I mean, you know, you've got the podcast. I've seen you everywhere, man. Trip Flip, the old Bert the Conqueror stuff. I would go out of my way to DVR these shows. I remember seeing the first promos. Believe it or not, Bert the Conqueror was the first time that I'd ever seen you or heard of you. That was my first, you know, introduction. And you know, here's this crazy bastard on roller coasters and just going around being crazy. And you know, what are you doing now?
I'm doing Trip Flip still. Bert the Conqueror is an indefinite hiatus. I won't ever say it's gone, but I kind of see it back.
Yeah.
Still working with Travel. They're the best boss you could ever wish for. It is a dream job with right. a dream boss and a dream group of people to work with. Right. So I will work for them as long as they let me. But yeah, doing Trip Flip. New season starts, I think, like March 17th. Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. And I just saw two cuts. I was actually just watching a cut when you called.
Oh, okay.
And this season's fantastic. It's great. We go to Australia twice. We go to, I'm leaving for Puerto Rico tomorrow. And it's fantastic. And then I'm doing stand up. We wrapped season two Trip Flip in 2 weeks. And then I start a stand-up tour. I'm in Edmonton, Minneapolis, Omaha.
DC, please, huh? What?
I'm doing DC. I just signed the deal. I wanted to come to DC for St. Patty's Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's not working out.
Well, man, I'm gonna.
I'll be in DC, and then I'm touring every week this year. So.
Yeah,
got a book coming out and a documentary coming out. So I'm busy as crap.
Tell me about this documentary. What's that all about?
I wanted to do a documentary. For my kids so that they could see this, like see what, like, you know, I'm gone all the time and they don't know what I'm doing and they're too young to really explain what I do. So I was like, you know, I want to do a doc for like when they're older, they can see it and go, gosh, that's what Dad was doing while he was gone.
Right.
So I was randomly talking to my wife's best friend's husband, and he was like, he's an editor, and he was like, you know, I've been wanting to make a doc with a friend of mine. I was like, well, let's do it. So we put up this thing on Kickstarter, and Kickstarter's a website where people donate money or buy into a project, and when they buy in, they get rewards like a signed poster, a credit in the movie, depending on how much money they donate to the project.
Yeah.
So our goal is 25 grand, and we gave ourselves a month to earn that, and we earned like 35 grand.
Wow.
And and so we went out. They followed me for like a ridiculous amount of time, and we started our trip in Amsterdam, and we ended it in... I think in Chicago. No, Portland.
Okay.
But it was crazy. We went everywhere. So we went to London, we went to Amsterdam. They just followed me on tour. I'd say we went everywhere. They just followed me on tour.
Right.
And my tour in that time included like New York, London, Amsterdam, Chicago, Tampa, New Year's Eve was in there somewhere. It was crazy. So they're editing that right now. And I'm kind of like in a weird spot. I'm like, I want to be very honest, but at the same time, I want to look cool.
So, sure.
So yeah. I'm like, can you make it look really honest, but like not make me look like a jerk?
Well, that's the thing. Cause you know, a lot of us see you like on the, you know, like the Travel Channel stuff. Is there a different Bert that, you know, maybe we're not seeing? Cause you know, I would imagine a Travel Channel probably has some sort of a limitation. I mean, you know, is it kind of the same person there or what?
Yeah. It's, you know, I've always said that, clearly language is pulled back and subject matter is completely different, but it's the exact same me. It's who I am when I don't curse and it's who I am on vacation. I love having a good time.
Right.
I giggle a lot and it's almost identical to me. I think my stand up's different in the sense that my stand up is completely my voice. and it's what I find funny.
Right.
And I don't, and I obviously I don't censor myself at all. So, my stand-up, well, my stand-up has grown. I think when I was first started, it was very like, you know, trying to be edgy. And now the older I get, it's a lot more storytelling and a lot more like crazy stories or crazy concepts that I'm married to exploring.
Right.
So, it's grown a lot. I've grown a lot, man. It's funny. I read an article about some guy who like sabotaged the deal because he didn't want to work for some cable network and he was like, I'm going to lose my voice. They're not going to let me be me. I don't want to do this. And then 3 years later, I'm like some guy. And I thought I was saying, yeah, that's the possibility that's out there, but it's only out there if you don't know who you are and you don't have any true connection to your voice or who you are as not even like an entertainer, but just like a dude.
Yeah.
There is completely a chance that someone would you know lose their voice working at a network like any of the basic cable networks these days. If you know who you are, you don't lose it at all. You kind of just explore a new part of who you are and a new way to kind of like. I never thought I could be funny clean. I needed curse words to be funny or entertaining, and then I do Travel Channel. I've been doing it for 4 years now, and the shows are doing great. And it's like, okay, so I can definitely be entertaining clean. And then I was like, well, shit, how come I don't do that like on stage? So then you start exploring more of like, I guess I don't need to say like the most aggressive thing I can think of to try to shock everyone into a laugh. Maybe I can just be funnier. And you grow a ton. I mean, I've grown so much working for that network that I feel like it's the best thing that ever happened. You know, when I got the first, I'm talking like I'm on cocaine, by the way. First offer from Travel, my wife told me to turn it down. She's like, you don't want to be on Travel Channel. Trust me. It's not, you don't want to be on Travel. And I was like, I loved the network. It's what I watch.
I was
obsessed with Man vs. Food. I was obsessed with Bourdain. I was obsessed with Zimmern. And so I was like, it's what I watch. And I'm like, they're giving me an opportunity to go on a network that I already watch. And I was like, took the meeting, loved the people, loved the network, signed the deal. And my wife was like, okay. I mean, so the other day she literally said to me, I screwed up so big by telling you not to take this job. You knew the right thing.
Yeah.
So I look back and I'm like, it's the greatest decision I've ever made.
Well, Travel Channel is one of those channels. I mean, you could sit there and watch it literally all day. I mean, I'll tell you what, Bert, sometimes on like a Saturday, man, I could just turn that on and, you know, they've got like the best bars in the world. And then you've got like some of the best food spots. And then, oh, here's Man vs. Food or here's Trip Flip. And I mean, you could just sit there and watch it for like a 4 or 5 hour block and just say, where the fuck did my day go? You look up at the, you look at the clock and it's gone.
I'll say this very candidly. The company that owns Travel Channel also owns the other networks I can do that with.
Right.
Food, cooking, DIY, HGTV, travel, and Great American Country. But I literally can sit and watch DIY. It's on my TV right now. I'm watching DIY. I'm just watching, what's her name? Something Curtis. Nicole Curtis.
Right.
She's hot as shit. She's a rehab addict. I put it on my man cave and I literally said one, and it's like, there's a show that I'm like, I'm not really into that one. I flip over to HGTV, flip over to DIY, flip over to travel, flip over to cooking, food. When I was losing weight, I'd watch Guy Fieri.
Right.
I'd watch his Banners, Dives, and Dives on the treadmill, working out, and like, just watch all of them. And I felt like because I was not eating the food I was seeing him eating, I was compounding how many calories I was losing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, because I'm not eating that and I'm working out, that doubles up my calorie burn, you know?
Yeah. It's like some weird motivation.
But yeah, I love those now. I love travel. I genuinely watch that. It's creepy when you watch it. Like I'll turn it on in like a hotel workout room.
Right.
And then it's really creepy when your show comes on or a promo for your show comes on and someone else is in there.
Will you watch yourself? Do you have a problem with watching yourself?
I don't really watch myself now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a problem with it. It's tough for me to watch cuts because I'm like, because all I see is like, you know, what, it's the same thing anyone sees when they listen to themselves, and it's just like, you're like, oh, I'm such a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, like, oddly enough, I can listen to my podcast all day long.
Yeah, I can listen back. I try to listen back to each of my shows at least once just to, you know, hear what I'm doing, see if there's anything I can work on, or see, you know, I try to make adjustments on the fly. But it's hard, man. Like I did so many bands when I was younger, and trying to go back to listen to me singing or playing guitar, it's just dreadful. And then I've got my, I've got my beautiful girlfriend in the other room who'll listen to it and tell me how great it sounds. And I'm like, you've got to be lying to me.
Oh, I won't listen to my stand up. I will not listen to my stand up.
Really? You can't listen to that.
And I know it's so helpful. Every great comic's like, you got to tape yourself. You got to listen to what you're doing. It'll help you tighten it. But I listen to myself do stand up and I just sound like a moron. I'm like, oh, it makes me crazy. I still to this day haven't seen my hour special from Comedy Central. I never watched me on Kimmel. I never watched me on Letterman. I've never watched me do anything. So it just makes my skin crawl.
None of that. Do you at least collect the things you do? Like if you get a CD or DVD, do you at least collect that stuff?
No, you know what? No. Like, and I think the only reason is, I don't have any of that. And there's two reasons. It's the same reason I don't take pictures with celebrities.
Okay.
Because my first meeting with any celebrity was with Will Smith. And I wanted to take a picture with him, and my manager was like, it was like a general meeting at the Hit Factory or some studio that he was doing Millennium at. Right. And I had it bought a camera, and I told my manager I want to get a picture with him. And my manager was like, Papa, if you can't look like a rookie, you gotta act like you've been here. If you want to work with the guy, you definitely can't be asking for pictures with him because you don't look like his equal. You look like a fan.
Right.
So I was like, okay. So I never got a picture with Will Smith. I regret that.
Yeah.
I never got a picture with Will. And so because I never got a picture with Will, that set precedent for the rest of my life. Because then if I started getting pictures with celebrities, people would be like, well, where's your picture with Will? So I felt like I had to never get a picture with a celebrity.
Yeah.
So that was my across the board plan. And so you couldn't question my plans. I just have never done it. So I was like, fine. So the same thing with like when the Rolling Stone article came out about me, my mom bought 5 copies, and like, I'm sure we have one or two still floating around.
Sure.
But I don't know where they are. I was in like the New York Times. I was in so much stuff, and it was too much at the time to collect, to like hold on to as mementos.
Yeah.
And I was moving. And I was moving to New York. And so I was like, nope, I just never do it. So then I just never got anything I ever did. I never have any, which really stinks too, because you want to like cut together a reel and your manager's like, let's put together one of your reels. Give us some of the stuff you have. I'm like, I got nothing. So they're like, well, shit, no one holds on to that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't have anything. I have some stuff on my DVR, but you know, it's like up until I get a new DVR and then all that stuff will disappear.
Yeah. You just lose it. That's a bummer too, man.
I actually started deleting my podcasts off my computer. So I was like, well, they're on the internet. If I ever want to hear them, they're out there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I kind of keep them on my hard drive like a psychopath. I'm like, I must have every show that I've ever done, because I just feel like if I don't have them, then I don't have them, because some of them are not on the internet anymore just for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I just feel weird like if I don't have them.
I guess that does. Yeah, I've only had like 13 out there, I think, or 12. So it's not like a lot, but I was like, they're out on the internet. If I want to listen to them out there, but I don't have this is what I started doing, and this will be the change, is I bought a bunch of 16 gigabyte hard drive, SDS cards.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to keep them on there. So they'll always be there. And so I'll just keep the SDS cards and then that's how, or the SD cards, and that's how I'll hold on to them for the rest of my life.
Yeah, just keep them all there, and then you've at least you got them. And then you know if you don't listen to them, so what? You know, at least you got them.
Yeah, you know what? Who wants like it's like pictures of my kids? I know we have them on some hard drive somewhere, and I know we have some printed out. It was like the pictures I remember of me as a kid are like they're like 3 or 4, because that's how pictures worked back then. You only held on to the 3 or 4 good ones. So like all these like gigabytes and gigabytes of footage of my children. We don't have any of that shit. Like, wow. It's on some computer somewhere that's in our garage or some hard drive or some, but like what we do have is like the ones that in life are normal, like the really good pictures that we printed out and we saved, and you know, it's the way life should work. You know, we're getting overwhelmed with memory.
Yeah. Why like, do we need 1,000 pictures of the same thing?
Yeah. I was talking to Doug Benson the other day, and he was like, when I go on the road, I tell people I'm going on the road and I ask them to break into my house because I want someone to clean out my shit.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Just a nice cleansing. Yeah. Just get rid of all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
keep a few things.
I mean, yeah. So I'm in my garage looking at all the crap now that we have in here. And I'm like, here's some CDs I have. No, I don't think I have anything in here.
What's in your CDs? What's some of the stuff that Bert listens to?
Oh, no, it's my CD that I released like in 2005.
Oh, okay.
Bert. I don't have any. I have an Xbox that had that death green light.
Oh, God, you know, yeah.
The circle of death.
That's ridiculous. How they couldn't figure that out drives me nuts. But what do you like to listen to? What do you like to, you know, when you're like working out or just listening to stuff casually, what's on your, you know, iPod or iPhone or whatever you got?
Well, I'll tell you what, I only listen to music these days when I run. Carly Rae Jepsen. like today I was running to Kesha.
Right.
I feel your heartbeat like the beat of a drum. You know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I listened to that at 160 beats per minute. Like I changed the beats.
Right.
So it's faster. So you get on the treadmill and you are like freaking Steve Prefontaine just flying. And it's this app I got called Trail Mix, and it paces a song to the beat that you're running. So it finds your rhythm that your body's doing,
right.
And it just gets the song to catch up to it. So what I do is I throw the treadmill on like a 7.5,
right.
And I put Kesha on repeat, and I just like weird out on a treadmill.
Wow. Yeah.
That one, and you know it's a really good song?
What's that
song? Sail. By AWOL. AWOL.
No, I haven't heard that one. You had me at the Kesha and the Carly Rae. Of course, I would know those, but yeah.
What is, let's see, I wonder if I can, hang on a second. Oh, no, I guess I can't. It's the song, did you ever see the video of Jeb Corliss jumping off of the side of a mountain?
No, I actually have not seen that.
Okay. Oh, my God. It's hard to explain. I'm not going to do the song any justice, but I put that one on 170 beats per minute,
right.
Which makes it faster. And it's this epic song. This is how I show my love. And it's just like, oh, it's the best. This app is the best. Trail Mix. I'm obsessed with it.
I need to check that out. That's iPhone, right? I got an iPhone.
Yeah. It's on the iPhone. Trail Mix. And then we got this app out here that I just discovered yesterday called Uber.
Oh yeah.
And do you have Uber?
I do have Uber. I have not been able to use it yet, but I do have it.
Oh, I'm using it today. I'm going to my sister's house tonight. Actually, tonight. I'm going to my sister's house in a little bit. But I'm going to use Uber and have them take me over there and take me back just to see what it's like.
Just to see what it's all about. They give you like a $10 credit when you start out with it.
Yeah, they give you like, do they really?
Yeah, they sure do. I like I said, I've got it sitting there. I haven't been able to use it yet.
Well, I'll blow through that tonight.
Yeah.
And then I take off for Puerto Rico tomorrow morning.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm on the road for 2 weeks. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Damn, man. You sound like you have one hell of an exciting life. I mean, I see you on like the trip flips and you just look like you're having the time of your life, dude.
I'll tell you this much. I am the luckiest man you've ever met in the entire world. Yeah. I look back sometimes at like, I remember one person saying to me, I forget, it was like on Twitter. And it was like one of those tweets that was kind of douchey, but
it moves you.
You understood that he wasn't trying to be, that even if it was douchey, whatever he was trying to say rang clear. Like he
sure.
didn't mean to be as, he didn't mean to hit me in the place he hit me. He meant to like, but it was like something to the effect of, don't ever forget that when you look at your career, you're one of the luckiest human beings alive, like or something to that effect. And I was like, I am, don't for a second think that like a kid who paid no attention in college whatsoever.
Right.
Literally had no focus, failing. I mean, scraping by with C's. Gets discovered by Rolling Stone. Oliver Stone options rights to his life, and he moves to New York to start stand-up, only to be discovered by Will Smith and get put into TV and stand-up, and then have a place where, like, where a dude who, by, like a complete and total screw-up. I've been a complete screw-up my whole life. Has a job that he loves and he works hard at, but he's got a family and a house and a dog, and, like, I go, the fact that I'm stunned sometimes with the fact I can pay a cell phone bill. It's none of it's lost on me at all. I'm the luckiest man in the world.
I would definitely agree with that for sure. I mean, Look, I didn't go to college either. When I got out of high school, I said, dude, I'm going to be in the band. We're going to be on the best in the world and we're going to be great. And seven bands later, nothing happened. I mean, it was great guys, good times. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But, to think that, I landed in the job I'm in now and I'm like, this is a great job. I'm incredibly thankful for this because the people that are working around me, they all have college educations. I do not. You know what I mean? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I'm not on TV or anything, but
it's funny. Who do you think the most lucky man in the world is? Who do you think the luckiest man in the world is? Like Tommy Lee Jones? Tommy Lee, the drummer. He's pretty lucky.
Yeah. Play drums, get laid, get crazy. I mean, what's not to like? Make millions of dollars and wow. I can't imagine what it's like. I mean, I hope one day, I'd love to see maybe even this show blow up or something like that. I mean, I'd love to taste that big money, that big exposure one day. I don't know that it ever happens, but I'm content in what I'm doing now. And I remain, this is a hobby and we'll see where it goes,
Yeah, well, it's a fun show to do. I'm having a good time. So
I bet you are.
Something right. It'll happen. I write everything on my life out a lot, but it's also the fact that there is a tad bit of humility and hard work and persistence. I've never said there's a lot of things that I've done that have sucked where you're like, well, that wasn't lucky at all. Like I got mauled by a bull
right.
And my ribs broken and my foot stomped and my leg broke. So like that was just me taking a job that I thought would be blow up into something and not saying no, But a lot of it's luck, man. I'll tell you, I'm going to get to heaven and God's going to go, how did you do it? Like, I did not give you any of the tools to get where you got, and you got there.
Yeah.
I was like, I know. Can you believe it? He was like, man, I thought I was lucky. You are the luckiest guy.
But you know what? Hey, you bust your ass and if you make it, good for you. It's good things that happen to good people that work hard. And if you work hard, people will notice eventually, right?
It's karma too. I'm sure there's dudes out there that would get an email from a guy on the internet and be like, I'm going to have my Sunday to myself. I look at it and I'm like, dude, there's a lot of people I'd like to talk to. And if you want to take the time to talk to me, I'm in. Like, if you really want to take part of your Sunday and talk to me, I'm like, well, of course, I'm doing nothing. I love to talk to them on the phone.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you reached out to me. Thank you.
I'm glad that you reached back out and decided to come on the program because, you're definitely a guy that I've seen on TV 100 times. I enjoy your work. And I got to tell you, man, next time you're in DC, if you're interested, I'd love to meet you, man. Shake your hand and just thank you for everything.
Let's get down. When I come to DC next, let's get down. We'll go, come out to the improv. We'll hang out. We'll go out to get some beers, shoot the crap and we'll have a good time.
I love it, man. We got to follow each other on Twitter. I'll shoot you my number. We'll make something happen, man. I'd love to.
Yeah. Awesome, Gary. You got my number. So keep in touch, man. Thank you.
Before you go, man, plug your Twitter, plug anything else you got going on, man.
Oh yeah. Trip Flip starts March 17th.
Right.
I'm at Bert Kreischer, BERTKREISCHER. If you go to BertBertBert.com, you'll get all my info.
Bert's a great one to follow.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bert. This is an excellent day for me. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Thank you so much.
It's a good day for me, too. Thank you. I'll talk to you later, brother.
Have a good one. See ya.
Bye.